people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son, and illumine the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the other side to the other until the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 50 responsively. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfectly in its beauty, God shines forth in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm.
God hath walls of heavens and the earth from above,
to witness the judgment of the people. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. The heavens declare the righteous of God's cause, for it is God who is judge. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
I always wonder about this story. It seems pretty odd to me that right in the middle of Jesus' ministry of teaching and healing and his journeys in preaching, right in the middle of that, suddenly they're up on a mountain and his clothes are transformed, transfigured, shining bright. And he's talking with two people from the pages of the history books. Peter and James and John are awestruck and terrified. And then just as suddenly as it started, it's all over again. And they're coming back down the mountain and they're not supposed to say anything to anyone. What happened? Now, some scripture scholars even say that this story is really a misplaced post-resurrection story. That it probably happened after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the gospel writer, for some reason, got it in the wrong place in the story because it's so out of place. What was happening? But this story does remind us of other stories in the Bible. It might have made you think of Moses going up the mountain and receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Or if you're familiar with this story that Gail read for the first reading from the second book of Kings, with Elijah being taken off into the heavens on a whirlwind in a chariot of fire. But there's another Bible passage, another story that has a strong connection to this mountaintop experience of Jesus. Don't look back to Moses or Elijah, but look forward to the cross, to the mountain or hilltop of Calvary. Think about the difference between these two mountaintop experiences. Here in the Transfiguration, Jesus' clothes were shining bright. There on Calvary, the soldiers rolled dice to see who would get Jesus' clothes. Here, on the Transfiguration Mountain, Jesus is between Moses and Elijah, the great prophets from history. There, on Calvary, Jesus is between two common criminals whose names we don't even know. Here on the Transfiguration, Jesus is observed by his three male disciples, Peter, James, and John. There, he is observed by three female followers, Mary, Salome, and the other Mary. This scene is filled with light, brilliant light, dazzling light on the Transfiguration Mountain. But at the crucifixion, we are told that darkness covered the whole land. At the Transfiguration, Jesus is filled with the presence of God. At the crucifixion, Jesus calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here on the mountaintop, God's voice proclaims, this is my son, my beloved. At the crucifixion, it's a soldier, a Roman soldier, who says in a quiet voice, this truly is God's son. Many gospel writers give us these contrasts and comparisons. Maybe they wanted us to remember that what happened on the hilltop of Calvary was not the end of Jesus' journey. And remembering this hilltop experience of the Transfiguration is a preview of what is to come. I think this is a very important point for us. What we see revealed here at the Transfiguration is what is a glimpse of what is to come. This is not only the end of Jesus' journey, but this is the end of our journey as well. When Peter and James and John witnessed that transfiguration of Jesus, they were looking not only at Jesus' destiny, his final destination of glory, but also of their own and of our own as well. We too will shine like the sun, even though today we are more carrying our crosses. Even though we're on this hilltop. The passage that we heard from the second letter to the Corinthians talks about the light shining out of darkness, the light shining in our hearts, Jesus Christ shining in our hearts, transfiguring us, transforming us with the light of God's grace. Of course, the cross is part of our journey, even as it was part of Jesus' journey. But because of Jesus Christ, it is not the end of our journey. No matter how difficult our days may seem, this is not the end of the story. The end of our story is the glory of Jesus Christ shining within us, the shining with the light of Christ. That's our destination as well. And it's no wonder that Peter wanted to capture this moment, wanted to hang on to it, building three dwellings. Let's just stay here on this mountaintop. No wonder he wanted to do that. He wants to hold on to that moment, preserve it forever. But this is not what God had in mind. This is not what God how God wanted the disciples to respond. He says to them, listen to Jesus. Don't preserve it in a Kodak moment in a museum archive. Don't just hang on to it and point to, isn't that nice? God says to the disciples, listen. A cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Only a few days before this event, Jesus was telling the crowd, if anyone would be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And now we hear God say, if you are to be a follower, a disciple, listen to him. At Jesus' baptism, we heard God's voice told us in the gospel stories. God's voice saying, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And today with the transfiguration, we hear that same statement with the addition of listen to him. Listening. We're not talking about physical hearing, but listen with that connotation of the same root word that means obey. Obey as well as hearing and paying attention. I think of a parent putting their hands on their child's cheeks and looking them in the eye, saying, listen to me. I think the parent has something more in mind than a hearing test. When the parent says to the child, listen to me, they expect something in behavior, either something to change or something to happen. In our baptismal covenant, which we will make in a few minutes with baby Shannon, and we will affirm with 10 new members of our congregation, we say that we will listen to Jesus Christ. We affirm that we will live among God's faithful people, that we will hear the word and share in the Lord's Supper, that we will proclaim the good news in word and in deed, and that we will serve all people. That we will serve all people, striving for justice and peace in the world. That's part of our baptismal covenant that we make in our affirmation of our baptism, that God makes a promise to us that if we listen to his son, Jesus Christ, we will be able to carry that out, that we will be able to do those things that we promise to do. We don't do it on our own. But you and I, as baptized Christians, are called to listen to Jesus Christ. We're called to seek out that transfigured Christ in the world. We're not just called to bask in the brightness, but we're called to listen and to respond with a disciple's heart. We're called to listen to our brothers and sisters who are suffering, to listen to them when they are in need, when they're unemployed, when they're facing foreclosure. We're called to listen to the cries of our nation and our world. How do we listen? How do we listen when the gap between the rich and the poor continues to grow? How do we listen in a world where greed and consumption have caused such an uneven spread of wealth and natural resources? How do we listen when the very voices that we turn to for answers and for help in our churches and in our government are locked in unhelpful debates over concerns that don't really concern us all that much? How do we listen to Jesus Christ? This Feast of the Transfiguration, just days before we begin our Lenten journey from Ash Wednesday to Good Friday to the cross. But Our journey doesn't end with the cross. Our journey also takes us to resurrection and eternal life. Today we're on the journey. Today we're trying to listen. Today we are trying to make sense of the crosses that we carry in our own lives. Today we say, thank you, God, for calling us your beloved children. Thank you for feeding us with the love and fellowship in this body of Christ, for the nourishment that we receive from this altar, where we get the strength to carry our crosses, the crosses that we bear every day. And we say to God, to ask the Lord to continue to show us how to listen to Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, to listen. Amen.